بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ارزو سما پچھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، ارزو سما پچھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، جلوہ دکھا رہا ہے رنگ ظہور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا، خالق ہے سب کا تو ہی، مالک ہے تو ہی مولا، خالق ہے سب کا تو ہی، مالک ہے تو ہی مولا، دنیا او ماں سوا ہے، سب بھی ضرور تیرا، دنیا سوا ہے، سب بھی ضرور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، جلوہ دکھا رہا ہے رنگ ظہور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا، ارفع ہے ذات تیری، ادراک سے بشر کے، ارفع ہے ذات تیری، ادراک سے بشر کے، پاتا ہے بید کوئی، قبضی شعور تیرا، پاتا ہے بید کوئی، قبضی شعور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، جلوہ دکھا رہا ہے رنگ ظہور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا، سائل ہے مغفرت کا، صدقے میں مصطفیٰ کے، سائل ہے مغفرت کا، صدقے میں مصطفیٰ کے، ایک بندہ کمینہ، رب غفور تیرا، ایک بندہ کمینہ، رب غفور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، جلوہ دکھا رہا ہے رنگ ظہور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا یا رب ہے نور تیرا، جلوہ دکھا رہا ہے رنگ ظہور تیرا، عرض و سما پہ چھایا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وعن عبد الله بن عباس وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لو لم يبقى من الدنيا إلا يوم لطول الله ذلك اليوم حتى يبعث رجلا مني أو من أهل بيتي يعطي اسمه اسمي واسم أبيه اسم أبي يملأ الأرض قسطا وعدلا كما ملئت ظلما وجورا رواه أبو داود صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رسالة درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد Ulama Kiram, respected elders and brothers, and all who are listening on the receivers and the audio streaming, and also the listeners of Radio Islam International. We are now busy discussing the third session of this subject matter relating to the great Imam and personality who will appear towards the end of time. As many ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indicate that when there will be a lot of oppression and tyranny in the world, then he will come and through him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will once more restore peace and justice on earth, and it will be a golden era that will be witnessed. Now, these discussions are extremely important for us to have this proper and correct knowledge, because without the proper knowledge, a person will easily get deceived and beguiled. There have been many false claimants of prophethood and nubuwwat that have come in the past, and people have followed them out of ignorance. And there have been many false claimants of being Mahdi, and out of ignorance, because they did not have the knowledge, people thought that yes, this man must be true, and they followed him, and so many became misled as a result of that. Therefore, it is extremely important that we have the proper and correct knowledge so that we can distinguish between that which is authentic and that which is fraudulent, and that which is genuine and that which is fake. Because there will be lots of attempts that will be made to deceive the Muslim Ummah. Different attempts have been made even today to deceive the Ummah. And people who don't have the knowledge, they get deceived very, very quickly, they get beguiled and they get carried away. So therefore, for us to be able to distinguish that who will be the true personality who Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has described in great detail, that knowledge is necessary. Otherwise, today we find that there are some people moving around with black flags. And people get carried away and think maybe this is the right group and the group on truth, but which is most furthest from the truth. So these black flags that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described, this is to come in whenever Allah knows in His knowledge. And the detailed description which we have gone through already, I'm not going to repeat it. That all was already explained in detail, exactly where they will come from, who will be their leaders, etc. So today if somebody just moves around and drives around and moves around with a black flag, that doesn't make him those authentic people that have been predicted by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 1400 years ago. So therefore, knowledge is extremely important, and when we are lacking knowledge, then unfortunately a person becomes victim to lots of what we could call false flag operations, false flags. In other words, he gets
carried away. Lots of our young friends today, unfortunately, because they lacking knowledge and proper, not only this knowledge, but side by side with knowledge, they require tarbiyah, and they lacking talim and tarbiyah, both of these things. So as a result of which, any little noise is made anywhere in the world, they jump up and they get ready, and they feel we need to support this cause, but whether it is a cause of haq and truth, or whether it is a cause of falsehood, they are unable to make that distinction. So that is why we say that these type of programs are so important, and it is so important for people to sit with the ulama, and to sit in the gatherings and programs of the ulama. If we become independent of the ulama, and we think that we know it all, and I don't need to sit by an alim, and I don't need to learn from an alim, then you are a prime, we would say, a prime victim and a prime customer and candidate of shaitan. Because he will make a meal of you, and in two ticks he'll carry you away, and you wouldn't even realize that you got carried away. You will be such a customer that you will be sold and you won't even know that you were sold. So Allah Ta'ala save us. That is why ilm is so important. Knowledge is so important. And side by side with ilm is also tarbiyah. Knowledge alone hasn't saved people. Knowledge coupled with tarbiyah. These are those things that will give a person safety and protection. Therefore we find that this discussion, this topic that I have touched upon, and truly speaking, we cannot really do justice because there's so much of graphic detail that it will take many, many sessions to discuss all of it. I'm just giving a kind of a summarized aspect or a summarized discussion. The books of hadith, every one of the six books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Nasai, Tirmizi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, these are the famous books, authentic Sihai Sitta as they are called. They have mention of this great Imam. And in some of these books, there's a complete chapter dedicated to him and his arrival. And besides that, there are many other books of hadith, famous books of hadith of the scholars that have mention of him. And many dedicated books on the subject itself. People like Allama Suyuti, Allama Barzanji, Allama Shoukani, Allama Ibn Kathir, Allama Ibn Hajar Makki, Sheikh Ali Muttaqi, Mullah Ali Qari, etc. These are just some of the names of those ulama who have thick volumes on the subject. They have compiled all the hadith from all over. Then they have gone into explanation of the author, of the narrators, how authentic they are, or if they're not authentic, and they've separated the authentic from the unauthentic, and they have also given an explanation, and they have tried to give a kind of a background and a sequence to all of these events that are going to happen. And from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, generation after generation, this has been a topic of discussion amongst the ulama and even the community, and many, many books have been written on the subject. Hundreds of books, virtually thick and thin books, have been written on the subject. So there is no lack of knowledge. The knowledge is there, but unfortunately, if we don't access this knowledge and we don't benefit from this knowledge, then we are the losers, and we are the ones who are going to be confounded and confused about these things. So therefore, my dear friends, I'm also saying at this point in time that let us make it one of our goals of this Ramadan, one of our resolutions of this Ramadan, that inshaAllah we will seriously pursue the study of knowledge, and we will try to enhance and increase our knowledge of Deenul Islam. Also, inshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and guidance. Now we continue with the discussions. Coming now to the actual personality, the previous discussion we spoke about the events that will happen very shortly before his arrival. The signs of Qiyamah, etc. were covered, and also the general conditions of decline that will be witnessed in the Muslim world at that time. And we are also going to, we also discuss the very specific events that would occur very shortly before his arrival in the world. Now we will discuss, inshallah, his personality itself, that who is this personality and how has he been described in detail in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk about his lineage, we talk about his name, we talk about his title. First of all, as far as his lineage is concerned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly mentioned, رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ. He will be a member from Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt means direct descendant, and from directly from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are called the Sadat or the Ashraf. He will be direct descendant of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will be from the progeny of Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they emanate from two streams, one from the one grandson Sayyidina Hassan, and from the other grandson Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he will be a Hassani Sayyid, meaning that his father would and his successors, they will all come from the progeny and of Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And his mother will be from the family of Sayyidina Hussein. So he will be a double Sayyid, from his father's side as well as from his mother's side. So therefore, in some narrations it comes that he is a Hassani Sayyid, and some narrations it comes that he is a Husseini Sayyid. So the reconciliation between the two views is that from his father's side he will be a Hassani, and from his mother's side he will be Husseini. And there is a narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Abu Dawood Sharif, where he said, one day he pointed to his son, Inna ibni hadha, this son of mine, Hassan, Sayyidun, he is a leader, kama sammahu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Sayyidina Hassan, he said, my son is a leader. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned that this son of mine, through him Allah will cause two groups of Muslims to become united through this son of mine, this grandson of mine will unite two groups, and two factions of the Muslim community will be united, and they will become united as a result of this grandson of mine, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that exactly happened, that Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, through him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought unity in the Muslim community. Then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes on to say, and this is in the narration of Abu Dawood, that وَسَيَخْرُجُ مِنْ صُلْبِهِ رَجُلٌ يُسَمَّى بِإِسْمِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And from his progeny will come a person that will be a leader, and he will carry the name of your Nabi. So from this we see that his name will be the name of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Muhammad. Right. So therefore we see that another narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the kitab Abu Dawood, he mentions there, يُبْعَثُ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِ يُوَاطِئُ إِسْمُهُ إِسْمِ وَإِسْمُ أَبِيهِ إِسْمُ أَبِيهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there will come from my family a person that he will be a leader, and his name will be like my name, and his father's name will be like my father's name. Therefore, the name of this personality will be Muhammad bin Abdullah. Regarding his mother's name, there are some narrations that state that her name will be Amina, but the ulama say that there is no clarity on it as far as the authenticity of the narration is concerned. There are some narrations that have not authenticated it, but those narrations claim that his mother's name will be Amina. So we see from this that his name will be Muhammad bin Abdullah, and he will be from the progeny of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the highest lineage in the world, the lineage of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sayyids, the Ashraf. These people are the pure lineage of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his lineage continues right through till the end of time. So from this we can see that he will also be from the Quraysh, because being from the lineage of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means he is a Qurayshi, and he will be from the Quraysh family and that background. As far as his title is concerned, his title is Mahdi. His name is Muhammad bin Abdullah, but his title is Mahdi. What is the meaning of the word Mahdi? If we take the literal meaning of the word Mahdi, it means anybody who's guided. We'll call him Mahdi. Any person who's guided, we'll say he's Mahdi. So technically every Muslim is guided, every Muslim in a literal sense is Mahdi, is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Deenul Islam. But of course we know that the technical definition will apply only to him, that is this one select personality whose description is found in so many narrations, that he alone will qualify for this title. If anyone says, yeah, but I also, from a literal point of view, I am rightly guided, so I can claim this title, we will say, no, you are not entitled to claim this title. The technical title belongs only to this personality, so that there will be no confusion in the ummah regarding, when we say Sayyidina Mahdi, we are referring to this particular individual who has been mentioned so much with graphic detail in the narrations of hadith. And he is called by this title, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided him at every step of his life. He will be guided by Allah. Every move that he makes, every decision that he's going to take, he will be guided directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as to what he should be doing. Because remember, he will be a global leader. And for a person on that level, he needs guidance at every step from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. So he will be guided. He will be an embodiment of complete and total guidance. This is the reason why he will be given this title. Now, one side discussion is, should he be called Imam Mahdi or he shouldn't be called Imam Mahdi? There is a difference of opinion among ulama on this subject. Some say that it is appropriate to call him Imam Mahdi because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has referred to him in many ahadith as Imam, Imam, the Imam will come, your Imam will come, your Imam will do this, your Imam will do that. So he has been called the Imam in many ahadith. So, and he will be an Imam in the sense of the ruler, the leader of the Muslims of that time. But other ulama of the view that to prevent confusion with the distorted beliefs of that sect of the Shia who are known as the Isna Ashari, they also refer to him by the title of Imam, but they have this distorted belief of Imama, where they say that these 12 Imams, they are even greater than the Nabis of Allah, and they are even greater than the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, it's preferable to avoid confusion, especially in this day and age, that we rather refer to him as Hazrat Mahdi, or we could refer to him as Sayyidina Mahdi, in order to avoid that confusion. Regarding, some people call him Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, this is completely wrong, because this again has got some connotations with this 12 Imam distorted belief of this group, whereas the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we use the word alayhi salam only for Anbiya alayhi salam and only for the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone else of great stature is referred to with the title of radiyallahu anhu, especially sahaba and other great personalities. We use rahmatullah alayhi, or we could use the word radiyallahu anhu. So therefore, we should avoid using the word alayhi salam for him at all. We don't use that term at all for anyone besides Anbiya alayhi salam, and therefore you will find in their literature they will say Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali A.S. When you see anywhere the word Imam Ali A.S., then you must understand the source, that this is not our source. Our ulama and our Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah always refer to the Khulafa and the Khulafa Rashidun, whether it is Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, or Hazrat Ali, we always refer to them with the title of Radiyallahu Anhu. And the title of Imam is not used for the Khulafai Rashidin. We don't say Imam Abu Bakr, Imam Umar, Imam Usman. So why do some people say Imam Ali? Because they have these distorted beliefs. This is the reason why they refer to him as Imam Ali. Whereas the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah will say Hazrat Ali or Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa karramallahu wajh. So this is the reason why we have to be careful even about wording, because these wordings have certain connotations. And we have to make a distinction as far as aqidah and belief is concerned. We are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have our specific aqidah and belief. And therefore, we cannot adulterate our aqidah and belief by even certain terminology that is used by deviated groups. Now coming to the features of Sayyidina Mahdi radiallahu anhu, it has also been mentioned in the hadith, some features of his have come. For example, the narration of Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is found in Abu Dawood Sharif, it is mentioned, wal mahdiyu minni ajlal jabha aqnal anfi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described in detail his physical appearance, that he will be a person who will have a wide forehead. His forehead will be wide. And ajlal aqnal anfi, his nose will be thin and high. That means he will have a thin, longish nose. So this is one way of recognizing him from his features. And as far as his complexion is concerned, that has also been mentioned. The narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which comes in the kitab Kanz, it is mentioned, wal mahdiyu fatam min Qurayshin Adam. He, Mahdi, will be a young person from the Quraysh, which was already explained. And he will be wheatish in complexion. In other words, he will have a fair complexion. So, in this we cannot see that he will have resemblance even with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to some extent. It has been mentioned in some narrations that many of his features will resemble the features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though not completely, but to a great extent his physical features will resemble Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will be a person who will be moderately tall and he will be thin, and which means that he will be very strong and fit. In the narration of Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which comes in the kitab Abu Dawood, it has been mentioned there, yashbahuhu fil khulqi wala yashbahuhu fil khalqi. He will resemble Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his character. He will be in complete resemblance. His akhlaq will be a total replica or a resemblance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the beautiful and noble qualities of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of bravery and of generosity and of tolerance and of forgiveness and of accommodation and of compassion and of mercy, all these beautiful attributes of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be found in this personality. He will be the final mujaddid who will be sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the reformation of this ummah. And his status is directly below that of the Khulafai Rashideen. And he will be one amongst the leaders of the people of Jannah. In one hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the names of some of his progeny who will be the leaders of the people in Jannah, including Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he also mentioned the name of Sayyidina Mahdi, that he will be a leader in Jannah. He will not be a Nabi or a Rasul, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him to the highest level of wilayat and being a complete and perfect wali, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will imbue with tremendous spiritual capabilities and tremendous spiritual powers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him tremendous amount of spiritual strength and spiritual powers. This will be aspects of his features which I've explained now. Now inshallah ta'ala, we go to the actual moment of his appearance, or the moment of his emergence, when he will emerge. What will be the situation at that time when he will actually emerge? At that time, as I explained in the first session very briefly, that he will be living in the people, he will be a resident of Medina Sharif, and he will be a low profile person, he will be an unknown person to the people, the community. Nobody will really recognize him as somebody, nor will he be known, or will he be a popular person amongst the people, that people will say, yes, we know him, oh yes, that person there. There will be no such a thing. And he himself will be unaware. This is amazing. He himself will be unaware of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated him, that he is going to be playing this part and role in his life. Because what is going to happen, by the narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which comes in the Kitab Ibn Majah, he mentions, Al-Mahdiyu minna ahl al-bayt yuslihuhu Allahu fi laylatin ay baghtatan. He narrates the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Mahdi will be from our family, from the Ahlul Bayt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one single night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will imbue him with all those attributes and qualities that will be required for him as the great leader of the world. That is, it's going to happen overnight, that he will be transformed into this great, saintly and lofty personality. He will have within him all of these things, but it will not be manifested and made known to the people right till that very moment. And perhaps this is also by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is not recognized, because Allah forbid, if he had to be recognized, then there will be thousands of enemies who will be waiting to destroy him and to kill him, so that he does not get to live and fulfill his mission and task on earth. So this is the hikmah and the wisdom in everything about him being secret and unknown. And what will happen is that a certain Khalifa will die, and the people will be restless looking for a leader. And in that search for a leader, some of them will pay attention to him and they'll say, this man here, there's something special about him, let us approach him and see if he can become our leader. When this will happen, then he will flee from Medina, because he will not want to take responsibility and become a leader. And this is the hallmark of a true leader, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the person who seeks leadership, he is not worthy and deserving of it. And the person who runs away from it, then he is the one who is worthy of leadership. So he will flee from there. And he will leave Medina quietly, and in the dark he will go away, and he will go away to Makkah Sharif, thinking that he will be safe there, nobody will recognize him in Makkah Sharif. But as he will enter the precincts of the Haram Sharif, then there will be already by that time a restlessness in the Ummah, and people will be looking for him and searching for him. Remember, I mentioned those hadiths also previously, where it has been mentioned that the people will be so desperately looking for him, and such will be the conditions that they will say, La Mahdi, looks like he's not going to be coming. So at that time there will be really a thirst and search for him. Such will be the thirst and search for him, that the select people of this Ummah, as I mentioned in the introduction also, 313, the count of the people of Badr, and the count of the companions of Talut, the king, in whom was Dawud alayhi salam also, when they fought against the armies of Goliath. They were also 313, and the people of Badr were also 313, and these people who will pledge allegiance to him will also be 313. That means the special nusrat and the help of Allah will be with them. These people will be amongst the most select people of the Ummah, the 313 chosen most people, highest personalities of the Ummah, they will all be congregated at that time at Baytullah, and they will be searching and looking for him. And when they will spot him, they will corner him, so to say, and they will, by force, they will take bay'at to him, and they will pledge allegiance to him. And it is mentioned in the narrations, يَكُونُ إِخْتِلَافٌ إِنْدَ مَوْتِ الْخَلِيفَةِ فَيُخْرِجُونَهُ وَهُوَ كَارِهٌ فَيُبَايِعُونَهُ بَيْنَ الرُّكْنِ وَالْمَقَامِ. Where will they take bay'at to him? That is also mentioned in the books of hadith. Imagine, to such great detail it has been mentioned, that they will find him between Hajr-e-Aswad and Maqam-e-Ibrahim. That is the place where the Multazam, etc., and the door of the Kaaba. In that vicinity he will be detected, and they will all surround him there, and these 313 people will take bay'at to him there, and then his secret will be open, and everybody will come to know that yes, the Mahdi has now arrived, and he has now been recognized, and he has been acknowledged, and the word will spread around the world. Whether there will be WhatsApp that time, I don't know. What other mode of communication there will be, Allah knows best. There may be some other social platforms around at that time. Who knows what technology there might be at that time. But whatever it is, the word will go around like wildfire. It will spread all over the world. And then the awliya Allah from different parts of the world, in one hadith sharif it has been mentioned, the abdal, the high ranking awliya from Syria, from Iraq and Yemen. These are the three places where the high ranking abdal, the awliya of the ummah, they reside in these three places. From these three places they will come, and wa isabatum min al-muslimin, groups and groups and groups of Muslims will come. And then also it has been mentioned about the armies from Khurasan with the black banners, they will also march, and they will also come, and they will also join up with him. Thereafter, Sayyidina Mahdi will go from Makkah to Medina, and he will go and read Salat and Salam at Rosa Mubarak. And after he completes this Salat and Salam at Rosa Mubarak, then he will go to Baytul Maqdas, and Baytul Maqdas will become his area from where he will operate, and all the different activities and events will happen from there. Now we come to the actual events that will happen in his era. Many amazing events, and a lot of wars will take place in his era, which I'm not going to go into too much of detail, because there is so much of detail. Even the war cry, etc., what they will be using, all those details will take a long time to go into that description. But I'm just going to give a very brief overview of the events that will take place. There are about four significant, very significant events that will happen, or four or five significant events that will appear, that will happen when he will now become the ruler and the Khalifa. Some narrations say that his age will be 40 at that time. He will be 40 years of age when a person reaches حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ شُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. When a person reaches 40, then we say he has now reached the peak of his life in terms of physical maturity and spiritual and mental and all other forms of maturity. He reaches at the age of 40. Now, amongst the events that are going to take place, one is the event of Sufyani. I have already briefly explained some aspects of this in the overview, and let me explain quickly about this war that will take place between him and the armies of Sufyani. This will be a very significant event, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show some miracle of Sayyidina Mahdi to the world. And what will be that? The army of Sufyani will come from either Kufa, Iraq or Damascus. His name actually will not be Sufyani, his actual name will be Urwa. And he will come from the tribe of Khalid bin Yazid bin Abi Sufyan. But he will be called Sufyani because of the attribution to Abu Sufyan. So he will be known to everyone as Sufyani. His mother will come from the tribe of Bani Kalb. This Sufyani will be one of the greatest tyrants of his time. He will be a great oppressor. And he will massacre many thousands of people. Even to the extent that he will slit open the stomachs of pregnant women to kill the fetus in their stomachs. And he will particularly target the Sadat and the family members of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for his oppression. One nation, one tribe of the Arabs will try to fight against him, the Banu Qais, the whole tribe will be wiped out. Because he will have a very strong, powerful army. The Banu Kalb will be a very big tribe. They will be actually his main supporters and followers. In the meantime, this Sufyani will be based there somewhere in Damascus, and the news will come of the emergence and appearance of Sayyidina Mahdi. So he will become enraged and he will say, who is this person in Makkah claiming to be the leader of the Muslims? And he will send one of his battalions or one of his divisions to go and attack. And Sayyidina Mahdi and his leader and his followers will engage in battle with them. And by the will of Allah, they will defeat them in the battle. When Sufyani will see that his battalion has been defeated, he will realize that this person is going to become a very powerful force. So he himself will march in person. And he will come with thousands and thousands of his armies. He will march to Makkah in order to attack Sayyidina Mahdi and his people. Sayyidina Mahdi and his people were very small in number. And there will be a huge army coming against them. And they will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, save us from this onslaught of these people. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Sufyani and his armies will come to a place called Baida. This is also mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, the name of this place. That they will sink into the earth. فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُخْصَفُوا بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. Every one of them will just simply sink into the earth. Such a massive army will just sink into the earth and they will simply disappear from existence. One alone will survive who will take the news to the rest of the world that a whole army is gone. And then the people will realize the power of Sayyidina Mahdi, that what a powerful spiritual personality he is, that through the power of that dua of his, the whole army disappeared and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have got rid of this one enemy. Thereafter will come another very, very mighty battle and war that will take place. And there is a very lengthy narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu in a kitab that is called Al-Fitan of Nu'aym bin Hammad, one of the great Muhaddith scholars. But I will just briefly touch on elements from the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which comes in the famous kitab of Hadith Muslim Sharif. And in this, the background to this we could call will be the Battle of Damascus, if you want to call it that. Damascus is in the news, and we're hearing a lot of battles and killing and bombings, etc.
You are listening to a live majlis from
the mother of all battles.
Masjid,
it wouldn't even be maybe the toddler of battles.
Taqwa.
Because the mother of all battles is still going to be coming. And this battle you will see could be called truly the mother of all battles. Because what will happen is that there will be a treaty between Muslims and Christians. And for a while they will live in peaceful coexistence, everything will go well. Then they will have a joint enemy and they will jointly attack that enemy and they will be victorious over that enemy. Thereafter they will attack Persia and in that battle also they will be victorious. But in that battle there will come some prisoners of war and the Christians will want to divide the prisoners of war between themselves and Muslims, but Muslims will refuse and say no, because among those prisoners of war there will be a number of them who will be Muslims and they will say we cannot take our fellow Muslims as prisoners of war. So that will result in a huge dispute. And the matter will be taken to different authorities of that time to try to solve it. but that dispute won't be solved between Muslims and Christians, and that peace that was there, that peace will be broken. And in the meantime, the Muslims will still be weaker in terms of strength and might compared to the, what is mentioned in the narrations is Rome, people of Rome. Now who are the people of Rome? Basically the people of Europe. So they will dispatch an army against the Muslims, and this will be the army of Sayyidina Mahdi and his followers, and this will be an army that will be the biggest army perhaps that ever marched on anyone. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif clearly. I will give you the narration, and this is the narration of Auf bin Malik, which comes in Muslim Sharif, that ثُمَّ هُدْنَةٌ, there will be peace between Muslims and Christians. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ, there will be then a war between you and, or there will be a dispute between you and them. فَيَأْتِيكُمْ تَحْتَ ثَمَانِينَ غَايَةً تَحْتَ كُلِّ غَايَةٍ إِثْنَا عَشْرَ أَلْفٍ, they will march upon you with 80 flags. They will march upon you with 80 flags. And each flag will have under it 12,000 fighters. 12,000 soldiers. So you can say there will be 80 battalions or 80 divisions by 12,000 each. Multiply 80 by 12,000. If you want to take out your calculator, you can do that, but it's 960,000. 960,000, just a few less than a million men. And this huge army will come, and the Muslims will stand off and face against this huge army somewhere at a place called Dabiq or A'maq, which is in that vicinity of Syria. The name of the place has been given as Dabiq. Now, when the Muslim army will face such a huge enemy, then what will happen is they will be divided into three groups. One group will flee and desert. They'll say, no, we can't fight. We can't fight such a big battle. They will run away from the battlefield. They will desert. And those will be the people whose iman will be deficient. May Allah perfect our iman. Give us strong iman. That should be one of our ambitions and resolutions this Ramadan, to develop our iman. All say inshaAllah. Now this group will run away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding this group that they will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No maghfirat for them. They won't be forgiven. The worst punishment will be for them. Another group will be the group who will fight till the bitter end. And they will drink the cup of Shahada and martyrdom. And it has been said regarding them that these people will be the equivalent of the martyrs of the Battle of Badr. Allah. They will be of that rank. Allah will give them like the martyrs of the Battle of Badr. And the third group will be the victorious group, and they will be amongst the best of people on earth at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them victory. And how will it be? The battle will be a 4-day battle when the army will be facing them. The first day they will stand off against them. The Muslim army will be camped at a place called Ghouta. By the way, Ghouta, you know, there was a chemical attack some time ago recently on the people of Ghouta. This is on the outskirts of Damascus. This is a narration of Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is related by Imam Ahmad in his kitab, Musnad Ahmad. It is mentioned that Pustatul Muslimina yawma idhin fi ardin yuqalu lahu Ghouta. في مدينة يقال لها دمشق. The camp of the Muslims will be on that day in a place called Ghouta, which will be in Damascus. So now this battle is going to take place over 4 days. In the first day, the Muslims will all take a vow. And when the when those armies will come, they will also burn all their boats and ships at the shore and say, it's either victory or death. You're not turning back. The Muslims will vow between themselves and they will say, we will fight till the bitter end. Either it's shahada or otherwise it is victory. And the battle will rage and rage and rage. And the first day, all the Muslims who will go into the battlefield, all will be completely martyred and wiped out. The second day, the same thing will happen. Another battalion of the Muslims will go in and they will vow, and the same thing will happen to them. And the third day, another battalion will go in and they will also take this vow, and all of them will be made shaheed. Remember, their rank will be the rank of the martyrs of the Battle of Badr. And then on the fourth day, when very few will be left, Allah Rabbul Izzat will grant them victory. And they will overpower those huge armies. Small group. The Quranic ayat says, "Kam min fi'atin qalilatin, ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'iznillah." How many a times it is that a small group and a small army can overpower a huge army? By the power of Iman and the help of Allah. In fact, it is mentioned in some narrations that 600,000 malaika will come down to their assistance. 600,000. But I'm cutting out a lot of details, my dear friends, because of limitation of time. Thereafter, they will march, the Muslims armies will march, and they will conquer country after country and land after land. Then another great battle that will take place at that time will be the Battle of Constantinople, which is today known as Istanbul. Now what does that mean? Perhaps that time maybe the enemies would have overtaken Istanbul and overrun it. So that battle is going to take place when the Muslim army will march to Istanbul. And this is the narration of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is found in the famous Kitab of Hadith, Muslim Sharif. And what will happen when the Muslims will march to Constantinople? They will march with the intention of conquering the city. فَإِذَا جَاءُوهَا فَنَزَلُوا فَلَمْ يُقَاتِلُوا بِسِلَاحٍ وَلَمْ يَرْمُوا بِسَحْمٍ. Not a weapon will be used, not an arrow will be fired, with no fighting and no weapons at all that they will use. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Muslim army victory. And how that will happen? قَالُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَيَسْقُتُ أَحَدُ جَانِبِهَا. The Muslim army will stand at the walls of the city. Constantinople will be walled all round. They will stand at the one wall of the city and they will proclaim the takbir with the power of Iman. Today, Allah forgive us, our takbir is so weak that even a cat won't run away. New cat, maybe a rat too won't run away. Their Iman will be of that caliber that they will say, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. And by the power of that takbir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the whole world to crumble and fall. And they will go to the other wall. Summa yakuluna saniya, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, fayaskutu janibuha. They will go to the other wall and they will say, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, and that wall will collapse. And then they will go to the third wall and they will say, La ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, and that wall will collapse. فَيُفْرَجُ لَهُمْ, the city will be open for them. فَيَدْخُلُونَهَا, they will enter the city victoriously. فَيَغْنَمُوا, and they will gain a lot of wealth as the spoils of war. فَبَيْنَمَا يَقْتَسِمُونَ الْمَغَانِمِ إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الصَّرِيخ فَقَالَ إِنَّ الدَّجَّالَ قَدْ خَرَجْ فَيَتْرُكُونَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَيَرْجِعُونَ. They will be busy distributing the spoils of war. And suddenly there will be a call that will come from somewhere that Dajjal has appeared. Dajjal has appeared. And so seriously they will take this, because this is the greatest threat that will face this ummah, the fitna of Dajjal, that we will find that they will leave everything, even the distribution of the spoils of war, and they will return to Damascus. But that will be a false alarm. Why? Because at that time Dajjal would not have appeared. It would be a false alarm. But Sayyidina Mahdi, at that time, he will send his intelligence gathering forces and groups to go and, you know, to go and do some intelligence gathering and ascertaining the fact what is happening, whether this rumor is true or not. And he will send some people. And in the book Muslim Sharif, the famous book of Hadith, the Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes that فَيَبْعَثُونَ عَشْرَ طَوَارِسَ تَلِيعَ إِنِّي لَعَارِفُ أَسْمَاءَهُمْ وَأَسْمَاءِ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَلْوَانِ خُيُولِهِمْ هُوَ خَيْرُ فَوَارِسَ عَلَى ظَهْرِ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that they will send these 12 horse riders or whatever number, 10 of them, will be sent, 10 of them will be sent to go and find out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I know the name of each one of those riders. I know their names, I know the name of their fathers, I know the color of their horses on which they will be going to go and find out about this fitna of Dajjal. And they will be amongst the best people or riders on the surface of the earth at that time. So they will be, now they will go around, now Dajjal will, suddenly he will really appear. Now that's a long chapter itself, how he will appear and where he will appear and all. I'm cutting all of those details out. But now I'm going to another very, very great event that will happen. It's the significant event that will happen in the time of Sayyidina Mahdi. And that will be now the descent of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam from the sky. Because the moment the news of Dajjal will come, the Muslims will be very, very concerned. They will be in great difficulties. Dajjal will, he will lay siege to the Muslims. In many parts of the world, they will be basically trapped and they will be cornered in all directions. They will not be able to come out or go in, and they won't have no supplies, no food, nothing. In one narration it comes, they will even burn the strings of their bows and they will try to eat whatever they can to just to survive. That will be the extent of the conditions that will prevail. And at that time, Sayyidina Mahdi and his followers will be in a very difficult condition, and they will, he will say, now why are we going to waste time and hold on? Let us prepare to do battle with him, whatever, however we can. And so they will start preparing for the battle in a very dark night, when at the time of Fajr Azan, and just as the Azan will be called and the time for the Iqama, for the Salah will come, suddenly they will hear a huge noise and all will turn their attention to see where this noise is coming from. And lo and behold, they will see that noise was actually Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that he will be descending onto the earth on the wings of two angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted him up alive, and he is alive today and being sustained by Allah in the sky. At the age of 33 he was lifted up alive on the fourth sky. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is still resident there, and then close to Qiyamah, amongst the major signs of Qiyamah will be the coming of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam back onto earth. And he will descend on the eastern minaret of the Masjid of Damascus, Jami Masjid of Damascus. And he will ask for a stepladder to be brought, and he will climb down. In the meantime, the Iqama will be called, and Sayyidina Mahdi will say, Ta'al, salli bina, come, lead us in salah. And Hazrat Isa will place his hand on his shoulder and say, no, you lead the salah. The reason why he will do that is to demonstrate that he has not come as an independent Nabi to this Ummah. But he will be one as a follower in this Ummah. And so Hazrat Mahdi will lead the Salah and Hazrat Isa will follow, and then they will get together and they will have consultation and mashwara as to how to go about the fighting this greatest fitna of the time, the greatest event of evil in this world, the appearance of Dajjal. They will discuss amongst themselves how to go about fighting Dajjal. At that time, in the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the famous book of Hadith Kanzul Ummal, he mentions that at that time there will be Yanzilu Isa ibn Maryam ala thamani mi'ati rajulin wa arba'i mi'ati imra'atin khiyaru man ala al-ardi yawma idhin wa kasulahai man madha. The narration is, it states that when Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will come, and now him and Mahdi will join up together, that time they will be on the, at the time with them, there will be 800 men and 400 women. 800 men and 400 women who will be the best of Allah's creation on the earth at that time. And it is mentioned that they will be like the pious and righteous people of the past. Very pious and righteous people. These are the people who will surround these great personalities. And they will be the backbone to these personalities. And thereafter, Sayyidina Mahdi will hand over the command to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will then become the imam and the leader. And Sayyidina Mahdi will then become his wazir and his advisor and his minister. Thereafter, the battle will take place against Dajjal and the forces of Dajjal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give great victory to the Muslims, and they will slay the forces of Dajjal, and the Dajjal himself will be slain by Isa alayhi salam. Only Isa alayhi salam will have that power, that he alone will be able to slay Dajjal. And he would, just by breathing on Dajjal, Dajjal will start melting, like how salt melts when the water, in water, like that Dajjal will start melting. But Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will not allow him to melt completely. He will stab him with his spear so that the blood of Dajjal will flow. And then he will show the Muslims, look at the blood of Dajjal on my spear. Thereafter, my dear friends, there will be tremendous amount. Then Hazrat Isa and Hazrat Mahdi, they will continue conquering land after land. And then there will be peace and prosperity all over the world, and that fulfillment of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophecy will come, where he said, Islam will enter every baked and unbaked home. That is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will happen in that era. Now in conclusion, this last things that I want to mention, and that is regarding some of the achievements of Sayyidina Mahdi, what he will achieve on this earth. And amongst his achievements will be this, that he will establish absolute peace and justice on this earth. A khilafat will be established that will be on the principles of the khilafat, Khilafat Rashida. The khilafat that was in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman and Ali, that type of khilafat will once more be established on the surface of the earth. Not an empty claim of khilafat, but no elements of the khilafat are found. There's a lot of people who claim today khilafat, khilafat, but these are hollow claims, empty claims. That is why I say, don't be carried away by slogans and words. The reality must be there. So there will be a Islam will be restored to its pristine purity, and all innovations etc. will be completely removed from Deenul Islam. Hearts will be purified, and the hearts of souls of people will be purified. Knowledge and piety will become widespread around the world, and there will be plenty of wealth. Heaps of wealth will be found. There will be plenty of rain. There will be a lot of grain. There will be livestock. And there will be a lot of prosperity at that time, like never witnessed before. And there will be a lot of love and unity in the hearts of people. There will be no malice, no hatred, no disunity. It will be a wonderful time to live in the world. Sayyidina Mahdi will be known for his absolute generosity, that he will give generously large amounts to whoever will require or ask for help from him. But at the same time, there will be a lot of contentment in the hearts of the people. And such will be, so wonderful will be the conditions that will be prevailing at that time, that it is mentioned in the Kitab Musannaf Abdul Razzaq, Hatta tatamanna al ahya ul amwat, that the living will wish that, Ya Allah, if the dead people were living today, how nice it would be for them to see what we are seeing. Everyone will wish that, I wish my dead family members and my parents and all came back to this world just to see what we enjoying today. That will be the extent of prosperity and goodness that will prevail. It will be a golden era of Islam, and like the earlier eras, and fortunate will be those people to see that time. Fortunate will be those people to see that time. Now we come to the conclusion of this part where the demise of Sayyidina Mahdi takes place, and he will pass away approximately 9 years after his appearance. That means he will be around approximately how old? 49. MashaAllah, brothers are awake. He will be approximately 49 years old at the time of his demise. There is no details about where he will pass away and how he will pass away. Any other details there isn't, except that he will not be killed in any battle. He will die a natural death. So, as per the narration of Abu Dawood, it has been mentioned in the narration of Abu Dawood, ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّى وَيُسَلِّ عَلَيْهِ الْمُسْلِمُونَ. He will then pass away, and the Muslim Ummah who are present at that time, they will read the Salatul Janaza. And in all probability, it will be Hazrat Isa alayhi salam who will lead his Salatul Janaza, and then he will be buried. This will be that great Imam and that great personality. He will pass away in this manner, and thereafter Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will rule, and his rule will be for a period of 40 years. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam in that time will continue this mission of bringing peace and justice on earth, and it will be the best time ever witnessed on earth. Those eras will never be repeated. It will be the best time to live on earth. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will marry. Who will be that fortunate woman in this world that will marry Hazrat Isa alayhi salam? Allahu Akbar. And then he will have children, and it is also mentioned that amongst the names of his children will be Muhammad. His one son's name will be Muhammad, and another son's name will be Musa. The names of Anbiya alayhi salam. Thereafter, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, when he will be close to the time of his death, then he will appoint his successor, and his successor's name will be Muq'ad. There will be a person by the name of Muq'ad at that time. He will be appointed as the successor of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will pass away. Can anybody work out what will be his age approximately at that time? 73. Because 33 years, no price, eh? 33 years he would have been taken up into the sky, and he would have lived another 40 years, and then he would have passed away after 40 years, so at the age of 73, and then he will pass away in Medina Sharif, and he will be buried where? In Rauza Mubarak. Next to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam will be buried there. What a time it will be for the Muslims to read the janaza namaz of this great Nabi. And then the Rauza Mubarak will be opened, imagine. And the burial will take place. Great pious people only will live to see such times and such eras. May Allah grant us all taqwa, piety and righteousness. My dear friends, now inshallah ta'ala, we will read the durood and salam. And thereafter dua will take place, zikr and dua inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa anzilhu al-maqad al-muqarrab indak.
اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صلي على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرية وآل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على إبراهيم
وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وآته الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله وصلوات وطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله
هي بهادة لفظ الله تبارك وتعالى.
يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا
والسجدة والله تبارك
ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا.
He it is who sends blessings on you as do his angel that he may bring you out from the depths of darkness into light.
Radio Islam, awakening your senses.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It's just gone 9:30. You were listening to the live majlis of Mufti Zubair Bayat coming to you from Masjid al-Taqwa in Sea Cow Lake, Durban. And Mufti Islam is doing a special series on Imam Mahdi, who is to come prior to Qiyamah and who will reform the conditions of the Ummah and once again bring glory and pomp to the Ummah as it was in the previous years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the iman in all these aspects inshaAllah. So we've asked Mufti Sahib to tailor make this series or to specially cater for the radio audience. He was actually supposed to discuss this every night, but we said we can plug in every odd night and we could take the program, and alhamdulillah he did accommodate. And so this program will continue on every odd night, the series on Imam Mahdi rahmatullah alayh. Also coming up shortly, I just want to give you the lineup for this evening. We're going to be airing a lecture for you shortly after the air break, and between 10 past 10 and 10:40 we've got the daily tafsir of Mufti Ismail Menk. And in that last 20 minutes of the hour, between 10:40 and 11, we have extracted the recital of Mufti Ismail Menk's Tarawih. We want you to listen to that recital, inshallah, between 10:40 and 11. But in fact, let's see if we can play it now for you. I think it will be apt. You can play the recital first, the 23-minute recital, and then after it we can play the tafsir, and after it we can play the other lecture between 10:40 and 11. So let's take a listen to Mufti Menk's recital of the Taraweeh Salah, and thereafter we'll go into the tafsir, inshallah.
Ahmed, have you heard that SANZAF is registered as a tax-exempt public benefit organization?
Really? But what does that mean?
According to South Africa,